Hi, everybody. Jane Hamill from Fashion Brain Academy. And today's podcast is number 20. Woohoo, I'm pretty psyched that I made it to number 20. And I know it doesn't seem like a lot, perhaps, but it's a lot for me, and I'm happy. So the reason I do this podcast is to help all creatives, clothing designers, accessories designers, artists, handbag makers. I don't care if you're a chef or whatever you make. Creative entrepreneurs, I am trying to help you make a living with your creativity. All right? So we focus in this podcast on selling, marketing, startups, planning, anything that's going to help you get your product out into the world so you can bring home some dough, pay your bills, and enjoy your life. So today's topic is the five biggest mistakes designers make in the first 6 months. Now, I've made them all, and a lot of designers make these mistakes forever, but I'm focusing today really on startups and what I see happening when people are just getting going. Okay, so remember, at the end of the podcast, I'm going to ask you to go back to the blog, fashionbrainacademy.com/blog/20, just the number 20, and let me know what you think, because your feedback is pretty much the reason I do this podcast, and I really want me not to be the only one doing the talking, okay? So let's dive in. The number one biggest mistake that I see people making in the first 6 months are they are not clear about their goals for their business, so they don't have a clear plan. Now, I know sometimes we just get too excited to get going on the business and we forget to do our homework, all right? So including these things are the things you really got to do to get your plan going. Number one, define your customer. You've heard it 150 times. That's because it's 150 times 50 times 58 million times important. Knowing who you want to sell to helps you design. Period. End of story. Okay. Second thing is thinking about what you really want out of the business from all different aspects. So what are your financial goals? How much do you really need to live on? What kind of a work-life balance do you want? You know, what kind of lifestyle are you looking for? I think we forget, and I know I have in different stages, forgotten that, you know, this is my, you know, sand, like, you know, this is my sand lot. You know, if I want to build my business any way I want to, I can. It's not up to what other people say I should do or what I see other people doing. It's up to you. What do you really want your business to be like? Okay, if you're going to be the one humping it every day, out on the front lines, working behind the scenes, working in front of the people, what do you really want it to be like? Okay. So if you're truly, you know, painfully shy and you really just want to be behind the scenes, then you probably don't want to start a business doing home parties or trunk shows, okay, because you're going to have to interact with the customers on a daily basis. And if you're the person who is wonderful at selling your own stuff and really a people person and really extroverted, then think about how you're going to design your business so you use your best skills. Okay. Now, I know once you get bigger, you can hire people to do some of the things you don't feel you're really good at. But in the beginning, you really are doing a lot of these things yourself. So design the business the way you want it to be. Okay. The third thing about getting clear for on your goals is absolutely get to know the competition. Do your research. And then, in my opinion, do the opposite of what they're doing for the most part. Okay. Just leave it at that. There's a million reasons why I say it, but you don't have to do what they're doing, and I actively encourage you to not model exactly what they're doing. Not that you're going to rip off their designs, but I mean their business model or their way, their you know, their voice when they do their marketing, all of those things. The fourth thing I would do about getting clear on your goals is to make sure that you have the right mindset. Really believe that you can do it and make sure that you have the support that you need. Do you have the support? Do you have the knowledge? Do you have kind of a roadmap in front of you? Do you have an idea of the size and the scope of what you're getting into? Are you just, you know, getting excited and you're just starting, okay? Do you have a mentor? Do you have the right mentors? Are you supported by other entrepreneurs? And, you know, knowing that you're going to be afraid, it's going to be scary, you're going to be out of your comfort zone, and are you prepared to accept that and accept a certain level of risk? And the last thing I wanted to mention about getting clear on your goals is making sure that you have an idea of what it's going to be like to be your own boss. I think this has been a shocker for a lot of entrepreneurs, especially creatives, because actually I remember my very first client ever. I got her, I wasn't thinking of doing Fashion Brain Academy yet. I was doing retail consulting with retailmavens.com, who I love, and I was doing, you know, helping with marketing and open to buy planning, forecasting, inventory, things like that, which was great because I've been a retailer for so long as well as a designer. So I was doing that, and I got a woman requesting me as her mentor through Step Up Women's Network, which is a wonderful resource if you want to take a look. Step Up Women's Network, and she said they contacted me and they said, would you be a mentor, you know, for this woman? She actually requested you. And I was like, no, I only do retail consulting. She wants to start a design business. So eventually I said yes. And I asked her after the first year of us working together and her working on her business, I said, what is it that you're surprised about with your business now that's been a year? Is it what you thought it would be like? And she said, I'll tell you, Jane, I had no idea how much business was involved in starting a business. I thought it would really be about the clothes and about designing the clothes and getting people happy with what they're wearing, but there's a lot of business. So this includes managing people, dealing with business licenses, taxes, paying the bills, setting up the systems. I think that was a shocker for her. Systems were tough. And worrying about cash flow. So there's being a good designer, being a good artist, being a good, you know, creator, maker, and then there's the entrepreneurial side that has to kind of go with it, or you really hope to God that you can find a partner who's going to help you with those things, okay, or a key employee. All right, so that's the first big mistake I see people making in the first 6 months. The second one is we forget to be a business person first and a creative person second. So they're certainly both important, creativity and business. But the whole idea of a business is to make money, right? Yet over and over and over again, I see creatives treating these things, treating it like a hobby. Hobbies are fun. You don't have to do things you don't want to when it's a hobby. You don't have to stretch outside your comfort zone when it's a hobby. You don't have to worry about if things don't sell when it's your hobby. So examples of this is really emotional business management, EBM, becoming too emotional about your line. So I have made this mistake so many times. I just urge you to try to consider it now rather than the 5 years it took me to figure it out. So if it's not profitable, dump it. Okay? If it's not profitable, dump it. I know some of you are saying, well, Jane, you know, sometimes there's something that's just so cool, I have to have it in my line, regardless of if it's going to make money. And I say, okay, that's all right. I accept it, and I've done it, and I will do it again, as long as that's the exception and not the rule, okay? So let's say that's 10% of your line are your pet, I just want to try this. I love it. I don't know if it's going to sell. I don't know if I can really make a margin on it, but it's that fabulous. All right, 10% is your play area of your collection. But the other 90% are things you know can be profitable, are going to be profitable. Because honestly, if there's something you want to do and it's a pet thing, if you love it that much, just make one for yourself and leave your business out of it. All right, the second thing is about the business person versus creative person is not working regular hours. I think a lot of us have these, you know, grandiose ideas that when you're your own boss, you can just do whatever you want. And it doesn't really work that way. I'm not saying that you have to work 9 to 5. Not at all. But you do have to be consistent and treat it like a job. And the people you work with should know when you're coming and going and be able to count on you for the days and the times you say you're going to be working. I really messed this up when I had my retail store, Jane Hamill. And I was so like, look, I'm not working for anybody, so I'm just coming and going whenever I please. And this was really hard for my team. They were very frustrated with it, and I didn't care. I was very rude. It took me a lot of years to really be more respectful of myself and of them to let them know when they could count on me. That was a mistake. I won't do that again. The third thing that comes under being a business person versus a creative person is listening to what other people say, really listening to what they say. it's a mistake, okay? So when somebody says, well, I got really great feedback, everybody loves this style. Everybody loves this piece, okay? That's nice. That's super nice. Did they buy it? Did they pull out their credit cards and say, when can I get it? What people claim to love and what they actually spend money on can be two totally different things. So customers and friends and clients and prospects show their love for something when they put their money down. Anything else really doesn't mean anything. Number three, biggest mistake, the third biggest mistake entrepreneurs make in the first 6 months is not choosing a true niche or a true focus. So, you know, the point is you need a clear concept, a clear, compelling concept. Okay, so a manageable way to run a business is to start with a very tight, simple product line. So I encourage you to think hard about your product assortment because you really want it to be great at just one thing, at one type of product or one specific aspect of what you do. You just need one great thing. You don't need 80 million, okay? So I encourage you to consider getting known for something, and it's a tight thing here, that you can become the expert at. Okay, if your ultimate goal is to have an entire collection that ships 5 deliveries a year, and maybe you want to have a lifestyle brand, that is awesome. Rock on with your bad self. I love it. But I really encourage you to start with one great idea and be the go-to business for that product, okay? Customers understand simplicity, especially retailers, if they're buying. If you are like, hey, I make white shirts, and I make the best flipping white shirt for this type of customer you're ever going to find, that's going to be a lot easier to sell than if you have a full collection and, you know, it's going to be a little watered down because you're new. And they already have collections that they buy. So if you're trying to break in and you are, you know, the niche product that fits in here and it makes sense to them, it's a lot easier to get in a crowded market, okay? So get great at one thing first and then diversify your bad self till the cows come home. I don't care. But start small. It's okay to start small. I'm going to link to, in the show notes on the blog, I'm going to link to another resource for you about how many pieces should be on my line, okay? So I'll do that. All right, number four. Biggest mistake that creatives make in the first 6 months is the money, cash flow, pricing, costing. The biggest mistakes include, for instance, not starting with enough money and not really understanding how much you will need. Okay, for those of you who are just starting out, I really do recommend the New Designer Program from me, my course, the New Designer Program, because it gives you a true understanding step by step of how this whole thing works, okay? So, for instance, if you plan to sell your line wholesale, consider this scenario. In April, let's say, you get 18 orders for your fall line, which you plan to ship in August. The average order is $1,500, right? So that's going to be $27,000 in wholesale sales. So you need to come up with approximately $13,500, or hopefully even less, but a little bit less, to produce these orders, and you need to do it now. You need that money now so you can order your fabrics, get your final patterns made, get markers graded, pay your sewing contractors, everything. You'll have to be paying to produce everything up front, and you're not going to get paid until you ship. So I think people just don't get the whole cash flow and the challenges of cash flow, especially for a wholesale business. I mean, you know, direct-to-consumer is similar. If you're selling online, you have to order your inventory up front, and you're paying for all of that before you get paid. So it's cash flow can be tight, and I think you just need to kind of know what you're getting into before you do it, because people are sometimes shocked. They're psyched that they get a big order, but then they have no idea how to come up with the money to finance it. And they say, well, I'll just go get some purchase order financing. You know, that's not easy to do when you're first starting out. Maybe you can get a loan from friends and family if you have purchase orders waiting to be shipped and you don't have the money to produce the goods. But it's pretty tough to get that kind of financing when you're a startup. Okay? Not impossible, but it's tricky. All right. Number five, big mistake people make in the first 6 months is they try to do everything all at once. And we try to do it all by ourselves. right? Sort of the Supergirl syndrome. I see this one all the time, and it really does tie back into your goals for the business. So based on what you want from the business or for the business, I really encourage you to focus on which sales avenue you want to pursue first. So focus on one target market. Focus on a simple product assortment. You simply cannot do a decent job when you're trying to do everything at once. You're going to be frantic, broke, overwhelmed, miserable, frustrated, right? So a lot of designers and entrepreneurs were not patient enough, and we tend to get bored with slow growth. I get that. I do the same thing. I want it all to happen today, right? I think it's better to just control your expectations and be realistic about what you can effectively accomplish in the first year, in the first 2 years. So you don't have to be selling online and selling wholesale and doing craft fairs and doing out, all of these different ways to reach people. Yes, maybe that's what you want, and that's, you know, eventually that's pretty quickly what I do with my Jane Hamill brand. But it would be smarter if you start with something and then add on as soon as you get proficient at it, okay? And I'm really talking about selling avenues, but I'm also talking about outsourcing things. So if you're the one who's creating the graphics and writing the blog posts and posting them up and doing the social media and design, if you're doing all of that, it's going to be a slog for you. So what can you not do? That's what I encourage you to ask yourself every single morning. What can I not do today? Well, I don't have to be the person who edits this podcast. I don't have to be the person who loads it up to WordPress. I don't have to be the person who actually sends out the emails. I can queue it up and have other people do that. So what can you not do and still get, you know, high ROI, return on investment of your time and energy? All right. So if you're doing this yourself and you have a very small staff or maybe none at all, what can you not do? All right. Well, you know what? I'm going to start with selling wholesale and two trunk shows. That's my goal for the first season. All right, great. That's awesome. Just try to remember that it can all come, but you don't have to have it all come the first year or the first season. Your first season is a test. I mean, you're really trying to see proof of concept. Do people like it? Do they buy it? What do they buy? Showing by the sales, what's their feedback? Not their words. Words are cheap, man. Talk is cheap. If they bought it, that shows they loved it. All right? So, it's really okay to start small on many different levels. Many different ways of starting small is my recommendation. And give it a little chance to flourish. And as soon as you see, oh, my gosh, this is working, after the first season or two seasons, then blow it out. Blow it up. Get crazy. Hire people. Get a loan. You know, do what you need to do. Get pressed. Do it all. I'm not saying have slow growth for the rest of your life, but consider the option that you don't need to come into the market with as huge of a bang as maybe you think you need to. All right? So let's just review the five biggest mistakes creative entrepreneurs make in the first 6 months. Number one, not being clear on your goals for your business and not having a plan. Simple plan is okay. There's power in a plan. Even if you do not implement the plan perfectly or even at all, having a plan is extremely beneficial, okay? And plans are made to change, man. Don't worry. You're not married to that plan. You can, you know, that's a living document there. Number two, forgetting to be a business person first and a creative person second. Number three, not choosing a true niche or focus, not going out with a clear concept. That would be a big mistake. Number four is money, understanding how much you're going to need, how cash flow is going to work, especially if you're selling wholesale or you need to keep inventory, and understanding your costing and pricing for profit. And number five is trying to do everything at once and trying to do everything yourself. Major mistake. Try not to do it. All right, so tell me this. Did you like this podcast? Because if you liked it, I would really appreciate if you would like it on the page and share it with your friends, okay? I'd love to get this information into the hands of more struggling designers, makers, artists, anybody who you feel could use this, all right? And leave me a comment. Here is the question of the day. Which of these mistakes have you made? Which one, okay, we've probably all made a little bit of all of them, and that's cool, but which one would you say is the most dangerous mistake? Okay, which is the most dangerous, and could you give me an example of what you did and how you solved it and how you fixed it? Okay, that's your assignment. Which of these have you done? Which one is the most dangerous, and what's the story behind it? Give me the stories. I love to hear your stories. I'm always telling you stories. It's your turn. So thanks a ton for listening. You'll find this, if you're not listening to it, on my blog. You'll find it at fashionbrainacademy.com/blog/2020. Okay? Have an awesome day. And remember, your feedback is why I like doing this, so give it to me now. I'll talk to you soon. Catch you next time.